Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Caregiver and Physician Conversations, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I'm Marjorie Pabst, your host and the author of Words of Care, my most recent book on caregiving. The purpose of our show is to provide caregivers and their families with tips and tools for working with medical professionals. Today, we present the third show in our three-part series entitled, What Really, Really Matters for Caregivers. Over the last two shows, Dr. Guarneri and Dr. Balmaget have provided specific situations where listening really mattered for both patients and caregivers. We've presented listening tips like how to take notes, how to use silence, how to monitor your personal listening skills. And if you'd like to go back to those archive shows and those links for both the June 25th and the July 30th shows, please log on to eCareDiary.com and you'll see those in the archived sections. Today, our focus is going to be medical professionals and how medical teams can listen better and how caregivers and patients and their care partners can better listen to doctors. You know, as the medical and healthcare change.
Hello? Hello?
I think we may have lost Marjorie, so I'm gonna go ahead and let her know that, and we'll try to bring her back in.
Okay. Is in our.
Oh.
I'm here.
Okay, Marjorie, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, sorry for that, listeners. You know, technology does bite us every once in a while. I was just about ready to introduce you, Dr. Guarneri, who has been our lead physician on Caregiver and Physician Conversations for over 2.5 years. He is the chairman and director of the Department of Healthcare and Spirituality at Florida Hospital, and he's also the past president of the medical staff there. Dr. Rick Balmaget is a professor of communications at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida, and he was named one of the top 300 professors in America, according to the Princeton Review. We've really loved having Dr. Balmaget on our show over the summer because he's routinely nominated as the favorite professor on the Rollins campus. His second book, called Listening Pays, has been receiving rave reviews. And today, again, as on our last show, Dr. Balmaget has generously said that he will provide a free copy of his book, Listening Pays, to any of you who call in today with comments or questions. So please do call us at 347-857-3399. Welcome to both of you, Drs. Guarneri and Balmaget.
Thank you, Marjorie. Good being with you.
Thank you, Marjorie. It's a delight being here.
That's terrific. Well, today as we turn to medical professionals and how all of us, patients, caregivers, and medical professionals can listen to one another, I'd like to start with you, Dr. Balmaget. We have a couple of visuals from your book on our website today, on the eCare Diary website. And one of them is called Take 100% Responsibility. So what are the key points and tools for caregivers as you see them, Rick, and how caregivers need to think about listening and interacting with medical professionals?
Absolutely, Marjorie. In taking 100% responsibility, what we mean by that is that in the communication exchange, it's important for us, as we're playing the role of the listener, to be fully engaged and take that 100% effort. And what we've done on eCare Diary is we've loaded up a castle as an illustration of the five purposes of communication. In other words, there are five purposes of why we communicate. The first is social. That's small talk of life, things such as the weather and sports and news and all that. The second is information, communicating for information. Third is entertainment or pleasure, where we communicate such as telling jokes or listening to stories or poems, things like that. The fourth is influence or persuasion, the purpose to persuade someone. And the fifth is the feeling communication, or having the opportunity to share feelings with others. And here's where the castle comes in. If our listeners can envision a castle with a moat around it, on the outside of the castle, there are two purposes of communication, information and entertainment, which we really, anybody can do that with us. There's no real connection other than we're receiving some information or we're enjoying what is being communicated to us. Whereas inside the castle, we have the purpose of persuasion and the purpose of feeling, and at the gate is social communication. So we have a little saying, if you want to be invited inside the castle, you must engage the guard. And so putting that into caregiver terms and with the interaction with a physician, if the physician is going to make connections with the patient and the caregiver, they need to engage the guard, who is the patient and the caregiver. So that's a quick overview of taking 100% responsibility in the five purposes.
Thank you so much for that summary, Dr. Balmaget. You know, when we were preparing for this show, you asked us a very intriguing question, and I'd like to bring that up for our audience. And your question was, is having a caring doctor, in other words, a doctor who engages you with feelings and influence, is having a caring doctor a priority for you as a caregiver? And then I think you also asked the question, to what degree do you want a doctor and his team to know you and your loved one in a more personal, feeling way? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, we talk about the caregiver and health care, which implies the real heartfelt connection. And if we look at the opposite of care, you have words such as indifferent, neglect, thoughtlessness, negligence, all kinds of words. What are your thoughts about that, Dr. Guarneri?
I think you get to the real heart of the situation, no pun intended here, especially what I consider as a physician, being in the ultimate service industry, if you will, there really has to be human contact, very profound human contact with what we're dealing with people, their serious maladies, and their lives as well. So I think it's at the heart of it. And I've even seen physicians that have gotten away from that because of many reasons. For instance, with just being very busy, where they are getting away from some of the humanistic relationships that they have with their patients with the pretense that they're just too busy. And that's a real problem nowadays.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Guarneri, let me ask you this, because I was having a discussion just before we all came online here, and we're all different. You know, we caregivers and patients, our families, and I know you tend to be, Dr. Guarneri, a very humanistic doctor. You like to look at patients holistically. So for you, when you run into a patient and a caregiver who really doesn't care to have very much feeling, they just want the facts, how do you respond to that?
I think it's my job to fulfill their wishes. I think I may pick up on that even without them saying it directly, and that's okay because I operate from the standpoint of whatever makes them comfortable. I would like to turn that around a little bit, Marjorie, and say also is that many times patients and their caregivers may want the real humanistic care, but that tends to be, especially with the research that is out there, with their primary care physician, that is their family physician, their internist, if you will, versus, let's say they broke an arm and they go see an orthopedist. I think the primary concern is not to establish a long-term relationship, but to get your arm fixed from the fracture. And certainly they would welcome the orthopedist being humanistic, but I don't think it's as essential as it is with the ongoing relationship that you have with a primary care physician.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Dr. Balmelger, how about you? Your thoughts about different strokes for different folks when it comes to degrees of feeling and influence?
Couldn't agree more with Dr. Guarnieri. I think the critical key is that I, as a patient or a caregiver, am mindful of what I most need in the relationship. And if it's ensuring that my knee is going to be fully functional, I may not be as concerned that the specialist is not attending to my feeling needs. I'm more concerned about, please fix my knee and fix it right so I can run.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you both for making that distinction for us. And for our listeners, do consider to what degree do you have personal needs in the area of a doctor who listens and your patient, what needs do they have? And it does vary by family. So consider that as you either embark on or during your caregiving journey. Dr. Guarnieri, I promised our audience earlier that you would also help put all of this listening skills and so on in context for us by explaining where medicine is heading and what the challenges and opportunities are for caregivers and families as they connect with doctors.
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure, Marjorie, to do that. I think two of the prominent challenges that I see, the first one, what I'd like to do is mention the challenge and then talk about an opportunity.
Okay.
For each of these. The first one is what I call the segmentation of medicine. As you and I think most of our listeners are aware of that have any contact with the medical profession, is that we're getting more and more segmented. What do I mean by that? Well, you probably have a primary care physician, but then as you deal with that physician, because of the particular entity that that individual may have, and that we even just implied with the previous instance, that you may need a specialist. In that case, it was an orthopedist. In another case, it may be a cardiologist. And then also it goes out further, Marjorie, where we even have super specialists. We have those surgeons that subspecialize in particular areas, such as a thoracic surgeon or a cardiovascular surgeon, and get even more super specialized, if you will. So we tend to segment out even further from that. In addition, that's compounded by the fact that we as physicians, because of being at one place at one time and having limited time, is that we have extenders now as well, and we've had previous shows that have addressed that, those being a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, other folks that we may use on an ancillary basis, such as an occupational therapist, a respiratory therapist, and on it goes. So we set up all of these interfaces in between our patients as we deal with their care. that becomes very, very challenging. And I think the challenge for us as healthcare providers is the responsibility that we have to facilitate those conversations and those communications with all of those interfaces, be it a specialist or a super specialist, be it with one of our extenders. So that is vitally, vitally important as we go forward to meet that challenge for our patients. As far as an opportunity in that area, as we're evolving with healthcare presently, there's an entity called an ACO. That stands for Accountable Care Organizations. You could think about them with the term medical home. And what that really is, it's coordinated, high-quality care for our patients. The government is trying to facilitate that as well, and there would be for the Medicare, Medicaid patient as well. And what it really is, it's a multi-specialty functioning group led by a primary care physician, having the specialists around him and the extenders as well, with a team approach for the patients. So with that, it's actually trying to cure all of the interfaces by a solidified group called an ACO to help the facilitation of that interface communication.
Great.
So that's the segmentation, the challenge, and the opportunity that we have. The other challenge that I see is, as I alluded to, the time tolerance that healthcare providers have. They, like our society that spins extremely fast, I think the healthcare community spins even faster. And with that comes the challenges. I think we have to, again, focus in on the primary care physician, who I consider the captain of the ship, and how he has that responsibility, not only with that interface, but also with coordination of that care, as also implied through the ACOs that I mentioned, those accountable care organizations. And as they go forward, I think there's going to be some tools that are going to be important to further facilitate communication. As I may have alluded to in one of our previous webinars, there are many physicians now that as they're speaking to the patient, they take notes, not only for their own documentation, but they will make a copy of those notes for the patient and their caregiver to enhance further the communication. Another important instrument that could be used as we go forward, especially with the complexity of care and multiple illnesses that a patient could have, is mind mapping. We had just mentioned it at our last webinar as well. And here, I think this could be, Marjorie, a whole nother webinar for us to do. But this is where, on a real visual basis, you map out, literally on a piece of paper, the patient's care, be it the physical aspects, the psychological aspects, the social aspects, and any other aspects that are significant. And then from there, within the physical aspects, there may be an aspect of cardiology care, there may be an aspect of endocrine care or hormonal care, and so forth as that mind mapping goes out. So briefly, just to give you an overview as far as those challenges and opportunities that go with them.
Oh, that's terrific, Dr. Guarneri. How you mentioned ACOs, these medical homes that provide a team approach for patients. Is there a place at this moment where patients, caregivers, can find out about ACOs?
Well, actually, some of them are just beginning to form, and the government is overseeing them as far as seeing how their performance is going and to validate their some of the principles that they've elucidated. But I think what an ACO can do, and I think physicians and their caregivers could speak to their physicians about whether they're attached to an ACO or whether there's one forming that they could become a part of. But let's keep in mind, too, with the ACO, that there are three important things that it does, and I've spoke about it indirectly, but I would like to say it to you and our audience very directly, and I call them the three C's. What are the three C's? Number one, communication, and as Dr. Bommelje mentioned with his listening, this is at the heart of that relationship between the patient, the caregiver, and the physician. And the physician with his team, by the way. So communication is the first. The second is continuity, continuity of care. And that's the communication that takes place on the interface. And the third, ironically as it is, but fits very well with the ACOs, is community. You're actually establishing this community team of caregivers to help the patient that have this harmonious communication going on for the coordination of the care for the patient. So the three C's, again, communication, continuity, and community.
Oh, those are just terrific. And it's interesting, we didn't talk about this, and but this is a synergistic thing. The community aspect, next month on September the 10th, I will be interviewing Stephen Warnack from Project Compassion, and their key purpose to exist is to provide caregivers a sense of community and provide the kind of continuity you're talking about, Dr. Guarneri.
Mm-hmm.
So it all does eventually fit together. I'd also love your idea of mind mapping, and I do think we should have a future show on that so we can help people think about how they can graphically look at all the different aspects of a medical team and how to get the most out of that medical team with respect to listening and care.
I couldn't agree with you more, Marge.
Dr. Bommelje, let's go back to you. So what is your thought about the three C's or anything else that Dr. Guarneri has just spoken about?
Well, I think the three C's just summarize the whole dimension of taking 100% responsibility. If we look at each one of them and say, well, for me, I want to take 100% responsibility for the communication that I can control with the physician or the healthcare provider. I want to ensure that that continuity is happening, so I'm going to ask the critical questions. Primary care physician, have you spoken with the specialist about whatever the issue is? And the community is just going to be naturally forming as one that creates value. I'll go back to the one point that Dr. Guarneri talked about with respect to the time tolerance challenge and note-taking. Can you imagine if every physician actually gave the patient readable notes at the end of the appointment, just to kind of summarize what has been discussed and what's going to happen? It's like being in class and having the notes revealed to you right there rather than having to guess. Why guess when we don't need to? And so I just salute those physicians that are doing that practice as part of their routine.
Yes, I could not agree with you more. As a matter of fact, it would not only would it create a collective responsibility like you're talking about, but there would be many fewer medical errors, misdiagnoses, all kinds of things would emanate from that of great benefit to all of us.
And Marjorie, as I hear Dr. Bommelje state what he just did, I think also, and it just struck me, that by the physician doing those notes and sharing that with the patient, giving them a copy, there's an implied implication there, and the implication is that we have an ongoing relationship, and this is the way it's going to continue with this information. So certainly process that, and let's go take this journey together.
Oh, I love that. You're absolutely right. It does signal from the doctor to the patient, I care about you. We may only have 10 minutes together today, but my taking notes and giving them to you is one example of the relationship we have. I love that. We're close to the end of our show today, but I have to get to this before we take leave. One of the visuals on the eCare Diary site today is the one with the three concentric circles with the patient in the middle and then the caregiver in the next circle and the medical professionals in the last circle or the outside circle. And, you know, Dr. Balmaget, it occurs to me that if we all take 100% responsibility that you're talking about, that you're both talking about, that the lines in those circles go away. We become partners in listening, and we're not segmented out. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. We're all in one circle, and we're all there to grow together, to help each other, and to just create value for one another.
It's become a real team.
Yes, and on our first show, Dr. Guarneri, I remember you saying that a key for all of us to remember is to intervene in the team, both as caregivers and patients, to speak up and comment on things that we need in that patient-doctor relationship, and important for medical teams as well, right, Dr. Guarneri?
No question about it. It has to be that sincere, caring communication that takes place within the realm of that circle, where the partition circles are going away and the patient, the caregiver, the physician, and his team are all working in harmony.
Great. Thank you so much. Well, I encourage our listeners to go back to the other two archive shows from June 25th, from July 30th, and then today you can always listen back to today's show with the archive that will be listed on the site probably by tomorrow. And I think the summary of all of this, I'm going to add one thing, and then I would like each of you to add one quick thing in a few seconds. But one key thing is we all must advocate for ourselves and our needs. How about you, Dr. Balmaget? What would you add to that?
Listening pays in many ways if we make the investment.
Yes. Dr. Guarneri?
Well, I could go back to the orthopedist that is really pressed for time and really deals with more of the mechanical part of the body. But nonetheless, even for a moment, even if it's a look, even if it's a saying, or even if he writes something down for the patient that's not going to take much time at all, that he shows that he truly cares for that patient, I think that's important.
You bet. Caring doesn't take lots of time.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you both so much for this wonderful series of three shows over the last 3 months. We will return again at some point with mind mapping and other things as well. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in each time. Those of you who called in with a comment or a question today will receive a free book from Dr. Balmaget. And thank you again, Dr. Balmaget, for that.
Yes. It's a pleasure taking this journey with you, Marjorie.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much to both of you. And we will be with you again next month. If it's Tuesday, it's all about empowering caregivers. Thanks again, and have a nice day. Bye.
What'd you think?
Very, very interesting.
I hope I didn't get carried away on someone else's questions.
Very interesting.